Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio. Welcome back, Game Time, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and of course, the 1620 The Zone mobile app. The NBA draft combine is underway in Chicago right now, and haven't started doing any of the 5-on-5 or anything like that, just taking measurements and whatnot. And Jacob Padilla, Hail Varsity, tweeted out Isaiah Roby's combine measurements. Okay, 6'7 1/4 without shoes, 6'8 1/2 with shoes, which that'll never make sense to me. Because until we start playing basketball without shoes, what are we doing, you know? So 6'8 1/2 in shoes, 7'1 wingspan, so great length, 8'10 standing reach. Again, goes back to that length. 210 pounds, 3.9% body fat. Let's just say Roby's in a little bit better shape than I am. Let's just, 3.9% body fat, I mean.
I got my body fat percentage today. I was like,
yikes,
right? When you said three, I was like,
oh, Lord have mercy. Alrighty. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. But the big thing will be, you know, what Roby does when he hopefully gets into some of these 5-on-5 games. And Jonathan Givony of Draft Express, he had an interesting tweet earlier. That is something to keep in mind. He says, something to keep in mind among the sea of players electing not to play 5-on-5 at the NBA Combine. Many of last year's biggest draft risers competed and excelled here at the Combine. For example, Dante DiVincenzo, Kevin Huerter, Josh Okogie, Jacob Evans, Amari Spielman all ended up in the first round. He said many of the prospects that decided not to compete in 5-on-5 last year ended up sliding to the second round or even went undrafted, such as Trevon Duval, Brandon McCoy, and Malik Newman. He says, I don't criticize players for not playing, but the results don't always end up as expected. I kind of feel like unless you are like Ja Morant, RJ, like where you truly have like everything to lose and nothing to gain, you're like at this point, Zion, why would Zion go play? Like, not. Nothing to gain, really, you know? I get if you are it is a consensus top 5, top 10. Heck, you could even consensus lottery pick. Like, I get it. Everyone else, though, it's like, you need to get out there and hoop. You need to get out there and play. And so we'll see what Roby does if he gets on the... gets on the 5-on-5 scene and balls out. Again, I think he's going to impress some people, man. I really do.
You going to watch the Combine?
I'm going to try to tune in.
I think...
It's on at 2, you said, right? Yeah, 2 o'clock ESPN2.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching.
Yeah, I just want to see what Roby... Well, the big thing is, I think Zion's there and is going to get measured. I want to see what Zion's measurements are. But then I want to see what Roby looks like. And then there's just a lot of intriguing guys that are there.
The same reason why I like watching Summer League is because these
Summer League. Boy, you suck at it.
I will sit front row.
I want to go do my show from Summer League for no reason.
You want to go to Vegas?
Let's go to Vegas and do the show for no reason. let's hope Roby gets on a Summer League team and we can masquerade it as we're there for Roby. But we're just there doing the show from Vegas doing Summer League.
I hope Mark's listening.
Mark, send us to Vegas in July, okay? Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Kugler's going to stop by in about 5 minutes or so. Again, this Fred Hoiberg stuff is just it's remarkable. You know, I mean it is remarkable what that guy's been able to do so far. And I told you a little over a month ago that I thought Hoiberg was going to attempt to flip this roster completely. Not a little bit, not 2-3 guys. I'm talking completely. But I didn't think he'd be able to get the roster flip to the degree that he's done it so far. I mean, it's hard to target and find that many players, bring them in and sign them. That's tough. Because one of the things I was concerned with was would Hoiberg just start taking players for the sake of taking them in an effort to flip the roster, or would he be pretty picky? Because there's a balance there. I didn't want to see Hoiberg just start taking kids because he had scholarships to give. Make sure they're the right players, fit-wise, personality-wise, all that. And listen, time will tell. I can't sit here and say all these guys are perfect fits. I also can't sit here and say they're not perfect fits. The one thing I can say is that on the surface, there aren't too many kids that appear to be a reach. And, you know, clearly I think Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg, they have a profile that they're trying to fit, a prototype, if you will. And a lot of these guys seem to fit that. The guards, he clearly likes length and versatility. Like, almost every one of his quotes said the same thing. We like player X because he brings a lot of versatility to the team. He can play multiple, you know what I mean? Like, literally, the description of every player has kind of been the exact same. So that's good. But there aren't too many players where Nebraska signed him and appeared to be what I would have been concerned with. Jermaine, you're just taking a kid because you have a scholarship to give. Because you could even say, like, Kevin Cross, like, man, that might be – I mean, he chose over – I mean, TCU and Okie State wanted him. So, again, all these players appear to be talented and fit from a profile standpoint, which is great and amazing, you know. And the fact that he was able to find that many kids that fit is incredible. Again, I was concerned. I didn't want to see Hoiberg get all loosey-goosey with, you know, you get a scholarship and you get a – hey, you over there, you're eating a Runza. You look kind of big. You want to play for me? All right, scholarship's yours right here. Like, you don't want to see that. Because you get the wrong guys in your locker room early on in your tenure, that's not good. That's not good. And again, time will tell, but on the surface, it does appear like Fred Hoiberg – it doesn't appear like Fred Hoiberg has let that standard slip of what he wants in a player. All these guys fit on paper. And with that said, I figured I would get at some point, like, this sentiment would pop up with all the Husker basketball recruiting hoopla. So I got an email here from Andy, nick@1620zone.com. Says, with not tongue-in-cheek here, sorry, he goes, when Nebraska adding 27 new players in 3 weeks and Creighton sitting with one recruit that is 6 feet tall, it begs the question, does Creighton need to be more aggressive in trying to improve their squad? Seems like the average fan would certainly agree they need to improve. Okay, first of all, number one is Creighton doesn't only have one recruit that's 6 feet tall. Creighton has three guys coming in next year. Sharif Mitchell, he is 6 feet tall, obviously from Omaha Burke, then went to a prep school. Then they signed Antoine Jones, the Memphis transfer. And they signed Jalen Windham, the 6'5 shooting guard from Indianapolis. So let's just start with that. That's not an accurate depiction of, like, who's coming in. And I figured at some point Creighton fans would maybe see all the activity with Nebraska and think, well, why isn't Creighton being more active on the recruiting trail? Because Creighton doesn't really need to. I'm not saying they got the perfect roster and no holes or anything like that, but guys, these programs and these rosters are in totally different spots. Totally different. Hoiberg is trying to build up the culture and build up the roster. Mack already has his established. And Coach McDermott already has a handful of the highly touted four-star kids. Mitch Ballack, Jacob Epperson, Tyshawn Alexander, Marcus Zagorowski on the roster and playing. Mack has a young team that basically returns everyone. So I guess what I'm trying to say is these two rosters and programs are just in totally different situations. You know, like, where I live, there was a house being built, like, behind me in Caddy Corner, if that makes sense. And I mean, I'm not going to be silly enough to watch that house being built and be like, well, we need to build on our house too. Well, no, I mean, our house is built. You know, like our house, like, again, I'm not saying that Creighton's got the perfect roster and they're got no hole, but I'm just, don't look at what Fred Hoiberg is doing and think, like, why is it Creighton do that? What, like, go sign 11 new players? Like, what do you mean? You know? I don't, what do you mean? Why are they doing that? Doing what? Running everybody out and then bringing in a brand new roster? Like, I don't get it. I don't get what you want. I'm not sure what you're I just don't think it makes sense to look at Hoiberg and Nebraska and say, why isn't Creighton do that? Two totally different situations. And for the record, it's what Fred Hoiberg, I think, felt like he needed to do, you know? He felt like he needed to, you know, he looked at the current roster. These guys didn't quite fit. He needed to get all new players. So, I figured at some point with all the, you know, I mean, because it's been, I mean, again, 33 days, Nebraska's added 11 players. So that means there's been a new player every 3 days. It's been crazy. Because the other day I was like, man, I feel like I've talked way more Nebraska basketball than Creighton basketball here over the last month. And it's like, well, because one team is like, has a ton of news every day with either players leaving or signing, and the other one kind of doesn't, you know? But that's how it goes. 402-951-1620. All right, 1 hour from now, Brian Munson. Get our Husker recruiting update. But coming up next, the man, the myth, the legend, the play-by-play voice of the entire universe. Kevin Kugler joins me next.